to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
In my hand today is a smartphone. Now, before we get into a debate, as if you're team Android or team iPhone, okay, we're not going to go there today. All smartphone and phone or non-phone users are welcome at C3 Hepburn Heights. Okay, so we're not going to talk. But this little device here, it's amazing, isn't it? The technology that's on this phone just blows my mind. And so something has happened that I've just come to realize recently. And it's come as a shock to me. Like when I figured it out, I was like, no, that can't have happened already. But what has happened is, well, one minute I was young and free. And the next minute, I've got to a point now where I can say the words back in my day. And actually what happened back in my day is significantly different than what happens today. And so I'm still dealing with this, processing this information. And so it's still fresh. So if I'm a bit raw and I get a bit emotional, you know why. But here we go. Back in my day, we watched TV on a big brown box that had no remote control, just that little turning knob thing that you change the channels with. And you had to get up to change the channel. There was no sitting on the back of your couch, just relaxing, changing channels. You had to get up. So there was always the designated channel changer. Usually the youngest in the family, you got that special job. And if you wanted to watch a particular TV show, you had to look at the TV guide, check what day it was on, and then schedule that time in if you wanted to watch it. And also, you couldn't skip the ads. Oh, we're going to check. Oh, did I lose my... Oh, okay. And so you couldn't skip the ads. So you use the ads to your advantage. Toilet breaks, snack breaks, whatever it is. And it's like, TV show's on! And you'd run back in, jump on the lounge. And so those that are under 20 here today, you just really appreciate your parents, appreciate your grandparents, because they were tough times. They were tough times indeed. And so back in my day, when we wanted to play a video game, we had to save up for years to buy a gaming console. And if you wanted to play a game with your friend, you had to invite them over to your house to be able to play. Can you believe it? Back in my day, if you wanted to use the internet, we had to use a dial-up modem. And it took what seemed to be eternity. If you think broadband speeds are maybe not up to your standard that you would like, back in my day, it was a long time. You could go and bake a cake in the time that you were starting up there. And there was that noise. Does anyone remember that noise? Anyway. And if it made the wrong noise, you knew we were in trouble, right? It was a special sound. And if it got it through, you're like, yes, the internet's going to work. And if you didn't, then you'll restart again. And so back in my day, getting information for our research projects, we consulted an Encyclopedia Britannica book set, which we got handed down. So I think ours was 20 years old already. So it was the latest information. And you just hoped like crazy that what you were researching was going to be in that Britannica set. And if you wanted to get a photo, like a picture from it, you'd trace it with the baking paper. Guys, if you were young, you had it. You have it good. You have it real good. Okay, last one. If you wanted to send a message back in my day, you had to write it down on a piece of paper. And then usually when we're at school, we'd hand it to each other and just secretly in class, like put it into the sharpener. Do you want to borrow my sharpener? And then secret messages. So let's just say technology has changed a lot in the last 20 years, hasn't it? And it's rapidly changing. And I think the mobile phone is probably one of our biggest changes that's impacted our day-to-day life. And so everything is available to us at the touch of a button. Like if I wanted to ask Siri right now, what is the national animal of Scotland? Hey Siri, what's the national animal of Scotland? Does anyone know the answer? It is a unicorn. You should go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Hot Seat. Is it called still called Hot Seat? It is the unicorn. Who got that? That's very clever. They've got the unicorn. Did you know that? You didn't, but I asked Siri and she told me. And that didn't happen back in my day. Back in my day, we would have just made it up. And we would have said, someone would have said the unicorn and you'd be like, nah, you're joking, that's not right. But actually it is the unicorn. So a lot has changed over the years. And So many of the things that used to take us minutes and hours now take us seconds, if not minutes. And we can escape into an alternative reality even, just through social media, TV drama series. Any fans of TV, get to tell me all the good ones so then I can take it home with me. And even the metaverse. And so some of you might be thinking, the meta what? Talk to someone under 20, they will tell you what the metaverse is. And so we can't stop technology advancing, right? And iPhones, smartphones in general, they're here to stay. But we can use our technology to engage with God. And it's good that we can use God's wisdom and how to use that technology in a way that's going to bless us and keep us connected to Him. Now, I'm not going to tell you to get rid of your phone. There's not going to be any phone smashing ceremony at the end of the service today. No, that's not going to happen. But what I want to do is to present to you an invitation that God has given to each one of us, one where it might require us to lay down our phone for a time to then accept an invitation to be with Jesus. So you can see here, I have three tables, and I apologize if you didn't have breakfast this morning and you're coveting the block of chocolate or any of the other things that are here, even some bread. And I want to use these as an analogy today to help illustrate kind of what I mean regarding this invitation. And so I have to give credit to Pastor Genevieve. This is a revelation she shared with our staff a couple of weeks ago, and that revelation has sparked this message today. So if you like it and enjoy it, go and say thank you to Pastor Genevieve, because I've just totally stolen it from her. And so in our modern lives, because we have our phones, we can find ourselves snacking on information throughout our day. So we've got social media. Maybe you're a news person. Like, you just want to know what's happening in the news. And so you're constantly checking what's the latest update, who's in the footy grand finals, who's in the semi-final. No one from Western Australia, so we don't really care. No, we do care. Brisbane. We're all going for Brisbane, apparently. They're still in it. And so no one knows. They're like, WA teams are out. We don't really mind. All good. And so we have so many things kind of coming up in our feed every single day. And so when it comes to having a spiritual hunger for God, we can kind of fall into the trap of snacking on the things of God. And so in our days, we have the opportunity to read the Bible and to snack on the Bible throughout our day. So maybe you have the verse of the day comes up on your phone automatically and you can have a little read of that. And that's like snacking on a little packet of Oreos. This is Bali Oreos, so special delivery all the way from Indonesia. And so you can snack on the verse of the day. So maybe you might have a calendar with scriptures on it, or a desk calendar with, you turn it over and there's a new scripture every day. So we're kind of like snacking on these verses. We might look on Instagram and someone posts this nice graphic, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then we can kind of snack on it and be like, yeah, I really needed to hear that verse today. It's really encouraged me. Maybe you're watching TikTok, for those that are a little bit younger, and you're like, someone's giving a devotion prayer and you're like, wow, that really encouraged me. That really spoke to me. Or maybe even watching something on YouTube or a podcast, and we can just be snacking on the Word of God. Now, the problem with snacks is that they only satisfy us for a short amount of time. And so when I was a kid, Mum used to say to us often, don't eat too many snacks because it'll ruin your dinner. And so the problem with snacking is that they're usually quick to eat and easy to prepare, but the nutrition that we get from them is only short-lasting. And so often we're eating on the run. We'll just like grab a packet of something and eat it while we're kind of doing and being in the midst of things. And so there's this problem that we face as Christians today, and particularly for the next generations, that we can easily find ourselves snacking on the Word of God, and then we lose our appetite for the real spiritual food available to us through a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I want to say, if you're not eating any food, you're in a desert, there's no food. Snacking is great because it could save your life. And there are times when that verse just comes at just the right time where you're like, wow, that just changes everything. And so it's not to say that snacking never. We're allowed to eat chocolate. The Lord has made chocolate for us to enjoy. It's a gift from Him, one of the many pleasures that He's given us. And so it's okay to snack, but that can't be our only source of spiritual nutrition. Okay, let's continue to the next table. Now, this meal is a little bit different. This is the Bible. And every Sunday that we gather, maybe at youth or during the week, connect in the middle of the week, usually someone comes and delivers what we could call a meal for us to eat. And so the preacher will prepare that meal, and it's like a big giant family dinner that we all get to eat the same meal that's been prepared for us. And so the preacher will take time to prepare that meal, and hopefully it will be a meal that you enjoy. But the most important job for the person speaking is to prepare a meal that is going to bring spiritual nourishment. And so this is not always easy. It's not an easy task. Just think about the fact that we all have different taste preferences with food. Some like it really spicy, like my husband. I'm like, I'm going to die. My mouth is on fire if I eat the spiciness level that he likes. And so we have different tastes. And so if you think about it, the preacher comes and brings one meal for us to share. And so that's a tricky thing to do, but hopefully we have great preachers here at Hepburn Heights, that there is something there that you can take from a meal. And what I want us to focus on as a church, and I hope that we're building as a culture, is that we don't want to be MasterChef judges sitting in the pews and judging whether or not the meal that was given was enjoyed. And I hope that you do enjoy the meal. It's not to say that it needs to be boring or whatever. But when the word of God is preached, even if it's delivered not so great, there is always opportunity for spiritual nourishment. And so I'm just adding that one in there. And so being part of a regular church gathering and having a family meal is an important part of being a disciple of Jesus. And so we are built for community and to be connected with others. And we see this in the early church. We've got Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts daily. They were doing that daily, once a week. We're pretty good. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so it can be very powerful for us to sit under the preaching of another person, particularly if it's in their giftings to do so. And they can bring out flavors and even meals that we could never have discovered on our own. And so receiving the word of God from this table should be prioritized in our weekly schedule. But can I say this? One meal a week from the word is not enough. It's not enough. If you're only making it to church maybe once a month, one meal a month is not enough. Life is hard. And we need the word of God to sustain us through the things that we need to get through. And so life is a race. If you talk with anyone in the older years, they'll tell you there's mountaintops and valleys very low. And we need spiritual nourishment to stay faithful to God through whatever season that we're going through. And so we need daily nourishment from the word of God to be able to sustain us through the good times and the not so good. And so we need that daily nourishment. When the world tries to feed us with fear, we're building our faith as we read the word of God. When the world tries to fill us with doubt, we're feeding on the word of God to fill us with hope. And when the world tries to distract us, it's like the word of God is what keeps the vision clear and keeps the vision in our focus. And so let's do the math just really quick. We go to church on a Sunday if you're a regular weekly visitor. Awesome. One meal. If we go to Connect Nights on Wednesday night, maybe you're doing a course there, the gathers, that's two meals. And maybe you're a young person and you're at youth or young adults, and so that's three meals. Three meals a week is not enough to sustain us. And so I am saying prioritize this meal 100%. We need this meal and we need it regularly. And as the early church, they were going daily to the church, to the temple, to hear the word of God. But these two tables, the snack table and hearing the word of God on a Sunday, they're not enough for us to be true disciples of Jesus. Because at the core of our faith is relationship. We can have a personal relationship with God through our faith and trust in Jesus. And Jesus, he lovingly and generously invites us to this third table here, to daily come and to sit with him, to have time, just you and Jesus. And the meal that Jesus prepares for us is better than any Iron Chef meal. We are invited to sit and eat with him daily, to learn from him, to share our lives with him, and to hear his voice speak directly to us. And I love it. Jesus' invitation is for everyone, everywhere. It's amazing. And just recently at church, we've had a couple of people, just the last two Sundays, make the decision to sit and to encounter relationship with Jesus, say yes to the invitation that he has given. And we see it throughout the Gospels, that Jesus would eat with those that were outcasts, that were forgotten, and even the poor. He was able to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and free the oppressed. And so his grace knows no bounds, and his love no limits. And he called people to come, and he calls each one of us to come. That invitation is open to us today. And so the purpose of Christ's coming, his death and resurrection, is so that we can be in relationship with him, to know him and be known by him, to dwell in his presence and to be intimate in our fellowship with him. So eating at this table is by far the best table. Taking time to sit daily, just you and Jesus, will have the greatest impact on your life. It anchors our faith. Maybe you're feeling like your faith is a bit shaky at the moment. This is where you're going to get strength of faith, is at the table, abiding, remaining in him. I want to ask you the question, when was the last time you were alone with Jesus? Not at church, not in a worship moment with other people. When was the last time was it just you and Jesus? This is the invitation that I'm opening up for all of us today. And it's not my invitation, it's from Jesus. We don't want to just meet Jesus at church. We don't want to just snack. We want to prioritize daily sitting with him. Now, this is the ultimate for us to engage with Jesus one-on-one, just the two of us. And this is where we can open up the scriptures. We can read and to learn and grow from his words of wisdom, learn from the stories and the examples. And we have this invitation to be able to sit and be challenged by his words, to be led and guided by him. And on this table, you can see there's some bread. I don't know if you noticed. And so there's purpose in this, because Jesus actually says seven different statements about himself. They're called I am statements. And these get to show us a little bit more about his character. We have, I am the light of the world. I am the true vine, the good shepherd, the door, the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am the bread of life. And so John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus declares these amazing, powerful words. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so it's true. In life, we are all hungry for something. And I'm not talking about physical food. Yes, you might be looking at that chocolate going, I'm really hungry for that chocolate. But actually, if we go deeper, we're hungry for purpose. We're hungry for deeper meaning in our life. And one that's seeking after what it is, what the answers to what life is really all about. And so we can think that maybe if we pursue things like wealth or certain relationships or doing certain things, that that's going to fulfill that hunger. But actually, the only thing that's going to fully satisfy us long term is relationship with Jesus. And so one time, Jesus was sitting near a well. And a Samaritan woman comes to him at the same time to draw some water. And we see the account in John chapter 4. Let's read verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And so maybe they'd headed to the local Nando's. They're like, I'm going to get Jesus a half peri-peri chicken and some peri salt and maybe some sparkling water. Wait, that's what I was That's what I order at Nando's. I might have had Nando's already twice. I only arrived on Thursday. Can you guys just please pray for us to get Nando's in Bali? If you're looking for a prayer point, just add that one to the work that the Lord is doing. And so maybe the disciples have gone off to get Jesus, because Jesus is hungry, he needs some food. So they've gone off to get some food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So the fact that Jesus spoke to this woman would have come at such a shock to her. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that you ask a drink for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And so the Samaritan woman responds by asking, "Where can I get this living water?" Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again. So he was talking about the well water at that point, the water in the well. "And whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will be in them like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So not only is Jesus the bread of life, but he is also the living water. And so we can see that snacking on the word of God is not enough. Just taking a little bite, a little sip is not enough. And even just eating the meal prepared for us by the preacher on a Sunday, that is good, but it is not enough. It's the everyday sitting and eating, talking with Jesus and sharing our life with him. And so the Samaritan woman, she is so impacted by this conversation with Jesus. And what's most interesting to note from this story is something that Jesus says in this conversation. I'm not sure if you've picked it up before. Jesus had just revealed to the woman that he is the coming Messiah. And in John chapter 4, verse 27, just then his disciples return. So they come back from Nando's and they're like, "Surprise, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you talking to that woman?" And especially a Samaritan woman. And they're like, no one asked her, "What do you want?" Or "Why are you talking to her?" Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman goes back to her town and she says to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples urged him to eat. "Rabbi, eat something." They're like, "There's peri peri chicken here and the corn on the cob, it's getting cold. You really need to eat this." And Jesus says something really profound. I love it. He says, but then he says to them, verse 32, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Now, our daughter is soon to be one next week and she has this ability to find food that I know nothing about. Like, she'll be happily playing with her toys and then I'll just sort of turn around and then I'll turn back and she'll be eating something. And I'm like, I'm certain I didn't give her food any time in the last hour. And she'll just be eating, chomping on a biscuit. It could be anything. Who knows how long it's been there? Where did she get it from? And so my daughter, she has food that I know nothing about. And Jesus is the same. He's like, "I've got food that you know nothing about." And the disciples were probably thinking, well, did someone go to the servo and get like a pie and a Dare iced coffee for him? Like, who did that? We were going to Nando's. He loves Nando's. And so they're just confused. They're like, what's going on here? And then he says to them in verse 34, and this is the most profound bit. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so Jesus had just been completing the mission that the Father had given him. The town had come to know him. The kingdom was being preached and they were receiving him as their Lord. And I love it that even the Savior, as he's sitting doing the will of the Father, completing the work, that he is being fulfilled. His hunger is being satisfied to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That hunger that we have on the inside, that desire for meaning, will only be truly satisfied as we submit our life to do the will of the Father, just like Jesus did. Where we sit down at the table, that we're invited to and daily sit with them. And as we know in the Lord's Prayer, we can start by sitting and worshiping. We can start by lifting our hands and honoring Jesus and coming into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And we can say, God, wow, you are so amazing. You're such a good God. Thank you for your kindness, your love, your faithfulness. We can start with that heart of worship. And maybe we might have some list of things to pray for. We often have lists, don't we? And you could share that with Jesus. And maybe that's part of your normal prayer time. But what I want to encourage us today is to add an extra question in to our time with Jesus. To echo those words that Jesus said. To come and sit and ask him, Jesus, what is your will for this day? What work do you want me to finish? It's a powerful question, and it means we have to stop and listen, which that means we need time to prioritize our time so that we can sit. We can't have this conversation as we would eat a snack, just on the run, kind of busy in the midst of life. This requires time. And that's why often we don't engage with it. Because like, I don't have time, I'm too busy. But can I say to you, if you can prioritize this into your everyday, the rest of your time is going to look a whole lot different. And I love that I can look across this room and I can see men and women who have followed the Lord for many years and have had this daily habit in their lives. And guess what? They're all still here in church. They're all still loving Jesus. And I'm sure they're being an incredible example to their children and their grandchildren, and maybe their great-grandchildren, that they have walked this journey of personal relationship, personal sitting at the table with Jesus. And so it works. And I'm sure if you ask anyone that's followed the Lord and done this process, that actually this is some of the deepest revelation, the deepest wisdom, precious moments with the Lord, they happen at this table. And so here we can learn his guidance for our day. We say, what is your will for my family this day? How can I love my children the way you're asking me to love them? What can I do for my husband, my wife today? What is your will or work while I'm studying at university, while I'm listening to that lecture? What is your will while I'm at work? What is your will for my colleague? Who do you want me to reach? Who do you want me to share your love with? Who do you want me to pray for? It's like as we sit and ask that question, life becomes very exciting because we're opening ourselves up to say yes to an adventure with Jesus. And they're the most exciting, can I tell you, when you can hear the voice of the Lord speaking into your life and then you step out and obey it, that's some of the most precious and incredible times in God because we get to say yes to an adventure with Jesus. And maybe he asks you to do something really simple, like, Rach, can you be more patient with your son, Raphael? And I'm like, oh, but that doesn't sound very spiritual. You know, I want to go and preach. No, not that I maybe be bold enough to do that, but let me do something really significant. And he's like, no, Rach, just be more patient. More patient. And as I say yes to that instruction, as I'm faithful with the little, God will give me more. And so not only is Jesus the bread of life, but he's the living water. And as we prioritize time with him sitting at this table, there is a strength that comes to our faith. I remember in my 20s, if you're in your 20s at this time, please learn from my mistakes. I would snack a lot. There were times, Pastor Jace, I don't want to admit this, but I'll do it just so that you guys can feel better about yourself. There were times when I would open my phone app and it would be the same scripture that Pastor Jace has spoken about last week and it was a week later. So that means I didn't read my Bible all week and I was a pastor. Confession. What's this? And so I know what it feels like. I know how you can get busy even doing for the Lord, even serving him. We can get so busy, but I'm doing, and then, and God's like, no, come and sit down. Come and have a meal with me. And if I've learned anything living in Bali over this season is that God doesn't want us to do anything for him. He just wants to be with us. And as we have a heart that is positioned and open to want to hear his voice, then we're going to be transformed. We're going to change. That my doing will change because I'm just sitting with Jesus and he's speaking to me. And so that's the invitation that we have today, church, is to sit down, not to check a box on our religious to-do list, but actually to sit and be with Jesus. And that can be confronting, especially if you're dealing with trauma, difficulties, disappointments. But can I say, this is the safest and best place for you to be. That it's okay if you're weeping over the bread while you're sitting with Jesus. Jesus is like, no worries, I'll give you some tissues. And as you're weeping, there's healing that flows. We might, often what keeps us from sitting with Jesus is that something hasn't gone the way that we'd hoped it would. And that's a big thing to overcome. And I know people in this room have gone through some very significant, big things that are hard to explain and hard to answer. But I do know this in the years following Jesus, that actually God uses every season and every hard moment, every tear, every heartache and pain, he uses it all to show us his love for us. And if we're busy snacking, if we're busy being at church, we're missing out on sitting with Jesus and being with him. This is the invitation that we have today, church, is to sit and daily be with Jesus and make it look what suits you. Make it look like what is in your season. You don't have to have a physical table. Don't worry about having bread every day. Just find a space, yeah? Might be outside if you like nature. It might be walking. That's fine. You can walk with Jesus. But it's time where you can just be ready to receive, ready to hear his voice. If you can do this, if you can put this like number one, this is priority, your life is going to be changed. Your life is going to be transformed. Whatever struggle you're finding in life now, if you can sit with Jesus and just talk to him, open your heart to him, that there is going to be what you need found there.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.